Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, good morning, Amazing Grace. We are so blessed to be in the house of God. Come on, let's give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. I want to thank and praise God for each and every one of you that have stepped out in faith this morning. And I believe God has a word for each and every one of us. And so please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have your attention here on the screen. And if you have your cell phones, put them on the off or silent position. I've entitled this morning's message, The God That Redirects. The God That Redirects. And as I pondered on this thought and this message during the week, God reminded me that from creation, from Genesis 1, that he was always on the move. God is always on the move. 7 days he created everything, right? But he's still on the move. And then we look at biblical history, we look at the Old Testament. He was always on the move. And one of the things that he always was doing was redirecting everything. Right? Especially after the fall. After the fall of man. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs 16 and 9. And the Word of God reads, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Can you get an amen? Amen? You see, we all have an agenda. We all have, I truly believe, sometimes good intention of plans that we make, and we have goals and we have desires to do things, you know, according to our own understanding and our will, our desire, our family, our friends. But God can easily come in and redirect us. Can I get amen? Because a lot of times our agenda doesn't line up with his. And if we are called out, if we are a chosen generation, a called out people, then God will continually direct our steps. He's continued leading us and guiding us. Amen? Sometimes when he leads us and redirects us, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it feels good. I'm, man, Lord, I'm glad you did that. And then sometimes it's, oh, God, do I really? Oh, come on, we've been there, done that. So in the Word of God, redirect means God steering your life onto a different path than the one that you once planned. I remember before I got saved, that plan was what headed to hell in a handbasket. That plan was just a party, to get high, to go do all these ungodly, unruly things. But God had to come in and redirect me. And that's what he did with us, didn't he? He came in and redirected our life. So we have to look at it that it's a frequent theme on God's sovereignty, his will, his sovereign will, that he would gently, sometimes it's gentle, and sometimes it's forceful. Sometimes it's a forceful direction. How many of you can truly say that there were times that God had to forcefully direct you and steer you a different way? Oh, yes. For me, he had to take everything away from me. He took away my family. He took away my health. He took away my my finance, everything. Until he brought me to a place where I just needed him. And that's what he does sometimes. And so instead of viewing closed doors as mere rejection, Scripture encourages viewing them as course corrections that lead to better outcomes. So his course correction, it's a better outcome for us. I'm glad what he did in my life. I'm glad what he did in your life. Why? Because you are so much better than you are today than you were yesterday. And so let's look at this. We're going to look at biblical principles regarding God's redirection of man. He had to redirect mankind. And so let's look at this right up here. A drastic course of redirection. It was drastic. Why was it drastic during Noah's time? Why was it so drastic? Why did God say, you know, throughout any other time prior to that, that time in Noah's time, why was it so drastic? Why did God have to come in and redirect mankind? Well, let's go to Genesis 6, and that explains it. Look at this. In Genesis 6, 5, but the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. So there was great wickedness in the world. People weren't living righteously. People weren't living with being courteous to one another, gentle, loving one another. No, it was wicked. Great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. Meaning, mankind at that time was conjuring, how wicked can I get even more so? You know, today, it's no different, is it? Huh? AI and the scientists are trying to bust open the DNA that God created for mankind so that we can live here 400 or 500 years more. That is no different than the Tower of Babel. That's right. And so there's wickedness today. There's wickedness throughout the whole land. No different. This is why Jesus had to come as the second Noah's Ark. Let's look at this right now. Let's look at this brief little story. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Man, when you get God to that point, it's over. God's about ready to do something drastically, and he's going to do it immediately. Look at verse 7. So then the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has found grace in his eyes for you. Oh, yes, he did. No differently than how God saw grace in the eyes of Noah. Look at this. In the eyes of the Lord for Noah, God had us in mind too. Amen? That's what I love about God. God has to judge harshly at times. But yet, there's redemption, and then there's a joy, and then there is a deliverance. And there is peace and beauty after the judgment. So let's look at this right here. Let's look at redirection of divine guidance. Let's look at that. Because God always was in the mix of guiding and redirecting. Even back in Exodus, and even Jude talks about it. Let's go to Exodus 12:29. Look at this. Divine guidance. And it came to pass at midnight, Exodus 12:29. At midnight, the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose the night, and he, all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. God had to do a course direction. He had to redirect Pharaoh's heart and what was happening there, because he would not let the people go. So God had to do the most drastic thing, was to kill their firstborn. All the other plagues didn't work. If they worked for a moment, they caught his attention. But until that firstborn was taken away, Pharaoh wasn't going to budge anywhere, was he? But God had to come in and redirect the whole situation. You see, saints, the belief that God actively guides his followers step by step, even altering their intended routes, is to fulfill a greater purpose. Here's a great example found in the book of Jude. Let's go here. Jude 14 through 23. There's only one chapter. There's only one book here. There's not several chapters here, just one. Let's look at verse 14. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints." Let me pause right there. Who are the saints? Us. Us. This is post-rapture. We're in heaven. We're rejoicing with God. We are celebrating the marriage feast of the Lamb. We're rejoicing with God in heaven now. But then God has to now send judgment to the world. Armageddon, they call it. They call it the final judgment. They call it the battle. They call it where God has to destroy the inhabitants of the earth. Look at this. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints." To what? To have a party? To make paradise? To come and vote for the next president? Look at this. To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly. Look at this. Among them all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and in all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now who are these people? Why is God going to do something so fierce like this? And this is in the future. This hasn't happened yet. Because we're still here on earth. We haven't been transformed into the new body. So we're not there up here with him yet. But who are they? Verse 16. They're grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. There are people, all they want to do is cause division like this. Because the Spirit of God, it's not in them. I've seen families split. I've seen churches split. I've seen political parties split. I've seen things split because there's a spirit in them that all they want to do is cause division. They're like this. They're mockers. And a lot of them mock God. They mock God. But look what verse 20 says. But you, beloved, now God's looking at us. He's talking to us now. Now we can receive this for us. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your what? On your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying. That's what we need to do in the time that we live in, is pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. What you shared earlier, brother, you're pulling them out of the fire. Hallelujah. When you were sharing that, I go, man, he read my notes. It was all Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Come on. Saving others with fear. You had to tell them. Just imagine, it's a fearful thing to drop into hell, where it's eternal torment, where you're separated forever from God. No longer will you feel the presence of God and see anything that God created that was beautiful. It's torment where the worm dieth not. Eternal torment. And so look at this. Making a distinction. This is God's wisdom. This is God moving. This is God reminding us, hallelujah, that He is the one that will divinely guide us. Guide us. And here's the thing. If you ever come to a place where you can't figure something out, how many have been there before? You just can't, I can't figure this out, God. I can't figure this out. You go to friends, family members. You know, so some of you go to counsel, whatever. Here's God wanting to redirect your thought life with James. Look at this. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. So here's the thing. Go to God, and he will give us the answer. God will give us the answer. Amen? But let him ask in faith. In other words, believe God with no doubting. We cannot doubt God. Are you sure, Lord? Are you sure, God? Yes. Whatever's written, you can take it to the bank. It's done. You know, I have an old saying, put a fork in it. It's done. Look at this. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, tossed by the wind. These are people that just waver in their faith. They waver in their thought life. They waver. Tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Wow. Wow. So we saw that God had to do a drastic course, and God is constantly redirecting our steps through his divine guidance. Now, let's look at this. This is what we prayed for. We prayed for our brother this morning. It's this right up here. Redirection through divine healing. Did you know when God does a miracle of healing, there's a redirection? God does it for purpose. Let's look at this story right here in the book of Acts. This one just leaped out in front of me. It was a divine redirection through divine healing. Only God could do this. No one could do it. Look at this in Acts. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. In other words, from birth, This guy couldn't walk. And they all knew this guy. He laid at the temple all the time, begging for alms. Look at this. Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple and ask for alms. So here comes Peter and John. This is after they got filled with the Holy Ghost. And now they're going to the temple, right? The two apostles. And they're walking by this man who's been laying there from Timbuktu. He's been laying there forever. Forever. So look at this. In verse 4. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So in other words, they fixed their eyes on him and they said, but wait a minute. Look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. So in other words, he was looking at it like this. He was going, thinking that the apostles were going to give him, like everyone else gave that man. They'd give him a little piece of silver. They would give him some money, some food. But look how this story went. So he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said what? Silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle, what? Bones received strength. It was a redirection. God had to intervene in this man's life to show the people that there is power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is mercy. There is healing. How many believe that God still heals today? God said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. Praise God. Man, and then the story goes on in verse 8. Look at this. So he came out of his mother's womb not walking. He was lame from his mother's womb. He never walked in his life. Look at this. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. How many of you would be praising God if you never walked your whole life? And all the people saw him walking and praising God. So this is why God did this, so that the people would see how powerful the name of Jesus is and the Spirit of God. Look at this. Then they knew that it was he. They knew this guy who sat begging at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were what? Filled with wonder and amazement of what had happened to him. I know I would. If I knew someone all their life that was like, you know, crippled, and then someone just speak the word, and then the bones cringed, and then everything lined up, and then he was a perfect person. Wow! What a divine miracle that was. Lord, 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 help us, God. Thank you. Thank you. So, we're seeing that there's, and we could have, I could have found another 25 stories. But we want to touch on the redirection. We're going to touch on different phases. And so let's look at the next one right here. Redirection through divine protection. Did you know that God watches over you? Huh? He watches over you. Sister, when you go out there ministering out there, you know what you do? He's with you. Amen. He was with you ministering to your neighbor. He was with you. He was with all of us one night on Monday when I ministered to the homeless. It was incredible. It was incredible. I'm still humbled by it. When God allows you to serve even the ones that are least of all. But they're not least to God. Can I get an amen? They may smell like they haven't taken a bath. They may look like they haven't changed their clothes in 5 months. But God still sees them as precious. Can I get an amen? And even to serve them, it's a joy. It was a joy. It was a joy. And I remember when Jessica, I called her. I said, man, sister, thank you so much for inviting me out to go preach the gospel to them. It was a blessing. It was a blessing. And like you said, brother, earlier, stepping out. We got to step out. Step out. And so we need to look at redirection through divine protection. You know, God will look out for you even when you have blinders on and you don't see danger coming. You know he's always out looking out for you? Did you know that he's looking out that when you get in your car and you start driving away, he's looking out for you. He's looking out from you from people also that want to bring you harm. He's looking out for you. Look at this in Matthew right up here. In Matthew 2:11, look at this story. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And they had opened their treasures. They presented gifts to him. This scene right here is the wise men. You know, the three kings that we sing songs about during Christmas time? Okay. So here they are. They came and brought what? Frankincense, myrrh, gold, all these things. Look at this. And they presented gifts to him. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Look at God looking out for not only them and redirected them, but he was looking out. God was looking out for his son, Jesus. Why? Because if they would have went and brought the report back to Herod, they would have said, they would have knew where he was. Because they wanted to kill him. Wow. But look at God. Hallelujah. Just, whoop, you're going this way. Yeah, yeah. You ever played an old electronic football game and you turn it on and they were just going and then you had to redirect them to go that way? Yeah, that was before Atari and all that. That's what God did. Boom. He redirected them. They went a different way. That's the grace of God. And look at God in this scene here. This is twofold. This is God redirecting Saul of Tarsus and also the killing of the persecuted saints. Because they were being killed by this one man. Let's look at this. Then Saul, still breathing threats, Acts 9:1-9. Look at this. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Look, threatening, killing. This guy was like a one-man man that was filled of rage against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest. Look what he did. He asked for letters from him into the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found anyone who were of the way, that's the believers during the time, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to where? To Jerusalem. And so look at this. Here's God. Hallelujah. Divine protection. God said, not anymore. Not from this guy, at least. Because just imagine how many more he would have killed and bound up and burned and fed to lions. So look at this in verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. This is God. This is God just doing what he does. Hallelujah. Redirecting this man. Hallelujah. He had a lot of zeal. You got to remember, who was Saul of Tarsus? He was the rabbi of the day. He was the attorney of the day. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. The guy was a lecturer. The guy was the most prominent one in Jerusalem. When he spoke, they all listened. It was like when E.F. Hutton spoke, everyone what? Listened. Saul would capture anyone's attention. And here he is, being humbled. This prominent man. God redirecting this guy. You know what? You know what I love about God? Every one of us that God radically redirected, he didn't take away our character. He didn't take away our identity. He took away our addictions. He took away our ungodly desires and ungodly pleasures. But he still left us who we were. That's the grace of God. See, when he directs you, he's just directing you to walk righteously before him so that you can learn how to honor him. So look at verse 6 right up here. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. They even heard the voice. Wow. Look at this. Then Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. And we know the rest of the story. Ananias. We know the rest of the story. Baptized him. Laid hands on him. And what? He got his sight back. And Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul, the greatest apostle to have ever lived. He wrote all they call them the Pauline epistles. Thank you, God. And then we see this. We see that God will give us equipment for divine protection. Here's my question. One of the toughest things to handle in life as a human is someone slander toward you. When someone mocks you or slanders you or belittles you or curses you. I've said this before. I'd rather get shot in the leg and that'll heal. But when someone that you know or love or whatever and just boom, yeah. It cuts to the core. It cuts to the heart. And so what does God do to help us in that area? Do we just fall into misery? What do we do at the time? Well, God equips us. And it's so that we can redirect that place of despair. Because none of us want to remain in a place of despair. I know I don't. I love my joy. I love to serve God. I love to say praise the Lord. Do things always go right? No, they don't. But this is what God has done for us. Look, it's found in Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of what? His might. Put on. Now, this is what he has given you and I. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Even things said to you can become a satanic assault. Did you know there's witches and warlocks? They even come and visit the church. They want to manipulate. They want to dictate. They want to rule. And it's their way and no way. There's no compromise. There's no, hey, can we reason with one another? No. No. This is why God gave us the armor. That we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Listen, my ought is not against a human. This is a spiritual thing. Can I get an amen? Against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So then God says this in verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Listen, he says the whole armor. Don't leave something out. Oh, I forgot to bring my sword. Oh, I left my helmet at home. My brothers who coaches baseball, I'm sure they bring their gloves with them. Can I get an amen? Don't leave that glove at home. You'd be catching that ball with your hand. Oh, Jesus, help us. Look at this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having what? Girded your waist with truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Look at this, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts. This is where you have to, when you get news and it's like, wow, you have to just let it slip off. You have to let it slip off like Teflon. Can I get amen? You can't let it, man, you know, and just go into a pity party. Look at this. Which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. Man, if you're not in prayer, you got to pray. Can I say, hey, you know what? And after you pray, pray again. A lot of times, God says, pray until something moves. Pray until something happens. Amen? Praying always with prayer, supplication, and the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Can I get amen? And so, we saw that there was a redirection, a course redirection, a very severe, drastic course, we just saw. Then there's divine guidance, just to recap. And then there's redirection through divine healing. Now, let's look at this. There's global redirection through the rebirth. Through the rebirth. You see, unless you're born again, you're never going to enter into the kingdom of God. Can I get amen? Never. I don't care how many Dr. Phil books you read. I don't care how many Oprah segments you watch. I don't care what philosophers say. Your favorite actor says. Your sixth grade teacher. None of it is going to get you into heaven unless you're born again. Unless you're born again. It's not just a prayer. It's a true transformation in the inward. You see, God redirects human plans to accomplish his broader kingdom goals. God has a goal in mind. And guess what the final goal is here on earth while we're waiting this? Who can real quickly just know what his greatest goal now, it's on the agenda? The 1,000-year millennial reign. And we're going to rule and reign with him on this earth for 1,000 years. That's going to be the next biggest event when he comes back to the earth and rules and reigns. He's going to redirect everything. He's going to remove the governments of this world. He's going to get rid of all the corruption. He's going to get rid of all the evil. He's going to sift it all out. Destroy his enemies. You see, a supernatural occurrence must take place by God's sovereign will because of his choice. Do you know that God is sovereign? Yes. And it's he who chooses. How many believe that you've been chosen? Well, look what 1 Peter says about it. But you are a what? Chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. You know that we're a holy nation now? Holy because of Jesus? Because of the blood? Because we're born again? We've been filled with the Spirit of God? Because we've been born from above a second birth. You can't just be born once. You got to be born twice. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you what? Out of darkness into his marvelous light. That was the greatest redirection, is when he took you from darkness and redirected you. He just, boom, into his light. Wow. Only he could do something like that. We can't do that for ourselves. Look at this. Who once were not a people, but now are what? The people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so, I know a lot of religions will fight you on this, on, you know, regarding salvation. But when you go to the scripture, you go to a particular passage, you cannot contend with it. You cannot make an argument, an argumental case for it. What's written in the scripture is what? Done. It's forever. The Bible says his word is forever settled in heaven. So this is how you share with religious folks. I came from a religious family. We were Catholic. We were religious, very religious. Some of us grew up in that religion. And there's still folks probably still in it. Right? And so, but you have to bring them to this passage to show that there's only one way to get into heaven. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 1. Look at this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay, so just imagine Nicodemus, this man was a Pharisee. A Pharisee is someone that has learned the Old Testament scriptures. So they're walking proudly like a peacock over the people. Because they were given this knowledge, but it wasn't to boast about. But they were boasting. Because they were looking down at the common people. The common people were like peasants to them. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. No one can do these signs unless God is with them. Jesus answered and said, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So now, this is what this religious person thought in his mind, in his wisdom, and all the scriptures that he knew, knowing that he thought he knew God. This is what he came up with in verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He thought that you had to crawl up your mother's womb again and come out again. See, religion thinks that way. Religion will make it impossible. This is why it's impossible. I'm glad how this played out for us today. Because this will squash every religion in the world. It'll squash it. Because that's an impossible thing to do. You can't go back up there and come out again. It don't work that way, does it? Jesus answered and said, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Okay, we've been born of the flesh through our mother's womb. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be what? Born again. And so we're seeing here that God had to make another redirection in their theology on how they thought salvation was. Because they thought all I had to be is a Jew and I'm all right with God. And that's what happens even to the day that we live in right now. Religion is all I need. I just need to be religious. That's it. How many of you used to remember the little baptisms with the infants that we did? It was a party, wasn't it? Oh, that's all it was a party. Oh, don't forget to pick up the kegs. Okay, you are bringing this. And right after that infant baptism, that whole religious act was put on the shelf, and the rest of the day was a potty. It was. And what you shared with your neighbor, he must be born again. And so we have to look at what God is doing. Let's look at this. Redirection of the human heart through God's word. Our human heart needs to be redirected. You know why? Because it's set on one thing only. To do contrary to the will of God. We want to do, when we come out of our mother's womb, we just talked about the womb, we're running away from God. We're an enemy to the cross immediately. Come on. You didn't come out crying out, praise the Lord. Praise God for mothers that took time to nurture their children, to care for them, to raise them, to teach them mannerisms, fed them, were there when they were sick, took care of them, changed their diapers. Thank God for mothers that took the time. And there's some fathers that do no differently. But the heart has to be changed. It needs to be redirected. Can I get amen? And because God knows the end from the beginning, saints of God, redirection requires yielding one's desires to His will. It's His will, not our will. That's why He says, Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. When He was at the Garden of Gethsemane. When He knew that His hour had come, where He had to give up His life. And He laid down His life. And so, with the human heart, this has to happen. The door to our heart has to open. We have to open it so He could come in and redirect it and change it. Can I get amen? Because we were already set already. Let me just say, I'm going to just talk about me. I won't talk about you. I'll talk about me. But until I got saved, I was stuck on stupid. I was stuck on stupid. Can I get amen? Amen? God had to open up my heart and do some reconstructive surgery. Oh, that's right. Look what Revelation says. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. This is God. This is Jesus. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, look at this. I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. But you got to let him in. You got to let him in. And once he comes in, oh, man, the victory now belongs to God. Can I get amen? And so we have to learn how to open our heart. And then once we're there, once he's there, surrender your mind and your life to him. How many remember when you were slaves to the world? Well then, huh, Pastor? We were slaves to that. We were slaves to Satan. He was our father. So we have to learn how to surrender our mind and our life. And how do we do this? Paul wrote it in Romans 12:1. Look at this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, that conversation you had was transforming. You may not have seen anything right then and there, but it will not come back void. Can I get amen? It won't come back void. Hallelujah. And how many believe that God has transformed your mind? Woo! Thank you, God. I am so blessed to know that I have a new mind in Christ. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are walking in the newness of life. And then once He redirects you, you have to have this. A pure and new heart. That old heart has to go. What did that old heart had? It had hostility, anger. It had bitterness. It had resentfulness. It had rebellion. The list goes on that old heart. This is why we have to go to God. Listen, when we find ourselves in those areas and we're being consumed in that area, we have to always do what King David did and go to God and say this, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. In other words, take this junk out of me. Take it out of me, God. I'm going to crash and burn. I don't want to hurt people. Help me continue to strengthen me to love those that are unlovable. Ministering to those homeless out there, you can see what they have gone through. They're, you can just imagine there's people that don't love them no more. But I was there to remind them that God still loves you, despite of it all. And hope. There's hope in Christ. Create in me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit within me. And then we have to, once God goes in, we have to always remember every day this, Christ living within you. He's in us now. Remember when you received the Holy Spirit? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let me ask you this question. Do you feel for one moment he's ever left you? No. Listen, and you can't go by feelings. You got to walk in faith and believe. Because there are some days I feel his presence, some days I don't. Just because I don't doesn't mean he's left me. Because our feelings go like this. I'm happy today, I could be sad tomorrow. Look at this in Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted up and grounded in what? His love. In love. The love of God. The grace of God. The mercy of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We serve a mighty God. A loving God. And so once he's there, you got to give him your whole soul. You got to give him mind, body, and soul to him, to Jesus. Don't give it to a person because they won't know what to do with it. They don't know how to fix you like God does. They don't know how to lift you up like God does. Some of them are temporary fixes. And they'll go a little while, you know. It could be your spouse, your child that's giving you wonderful counsel or just lifting you up. But ultimately, only God can fix those matters that count. The things that matter. The things that you can't figure out on your own. The things that nobody can fix. Only God can. And I'm living proof of that. You guys are living proof of that. Only God can fix it. Only God can change a whole family structure. Only he can redirect your whole entire family. It was headed this way. And then he just went, I'm redirecting you. You're going this way now. That's the grace of God. That's the love of God. That's the miraculous hand of God on your life. You know, the world has no answers for this. But we do. And that's God. So you must turn. Turning with your whole soul. And God told the Old Testament saints. He told Moses to write this down. Even for our generation. You know, like I said, Jesus is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. God changes not. We understood that from last week. God changes not. So in Deuteronomy 30:10, look at this. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, meaning the Word of God. And if you what? And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your what? Your soul. God wants it all. Why? Because then He could do a beautiful thing in your life. If you withhold your soul from Him, you're limited. You could only go so far with God. But if you give it all to Him, say, God, here I am. Here it is. Well, Brother Felipe prayed for me because I wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I had to give God my whole entire soul. I had to kick those things that I loved off the throne of my heart and put Him on my throne of my heart. And once I came to that conclusion in my mind, that I surrendered all, here, God, have everything. I want You to have everything in my life. Boom. The blessing came. The miracle happened. The Holy Ghost dropped into my spirit. And He's never left me. He's never left you. Has He? He hasn't left you, has He? Come on. He loves you with an eternal love. My goodness. One of our favorite scriptures that we have here, I have it on a plaque outside in the jacuzzi. It's a redirection of a course that you're taking, and then God says to repent, meaning we're walking the course of this world, and then repent means to make an about face and turn to God. That's what repent means. It's not a very difficult word. It really isn't. It's a word that only God can give through His wisdom. When you turn to Him, sophisticated. That was the word I was looking for. It's not a sophisticated word. It's a very easy word. It's an easy term. It's found in Acts 2:38. Look at this. Then Peter said to them, repent. That means turn. Just turn. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And you shall what? Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you see the order? Do you see the sequence here? You see, you got to remember, God is a God of order. He made the whole entire universe and world in 7 days. First day he did something. Second day he did, the sixth day he created man, right? He did it all in order. Well, salvation is order. He said repent. So that's the first thing you have to do is turn to God. And then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And then it says, now you shall receive. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, and to all afar off, as many the Lord God will call. Let me just say this. If you have children that are not saved yet, He's not done. Amen. Can I get an amen? He's not done yet. Hold on to this promise. You know, in your prayer life, remind, say, God, I'm going to hold on to this promise. That You're going to save my children. You're going to save my child. You're going to save my family member. You're going to save God. You're going to save my friends. You're going to save my co-worker. My sisters, my brothers that don't serve You. You're going to save them, God. Because I'm believing You're going to do that. If You did it for me, God, I know You'll do it for them. Because they're just as precious in Your sight as I am in Your sight. Hallelujah. God wants to do something radical in the time that we live in. And for those of you that are watching right now, maybe you haven't given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. I believe God wants to do a redirection in your life. Maybe you've been going to the course of this world according to your understanding, according to the course of this world. God is saying, repent. Make an about face. Turn to me. And I will pick you up from this moment on and carry you the rest of the way into eternity with me. That's the promise. That's what God said I will do. And it's by faith. And if you're listening right now, those of you that are on Facebook and YouTube, maybe you logged in, maybe you were surfing and you came across our site by mistake, but now God has your attention. Maybe right now, God is saying, hey, stop for a moment. The Bible says, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart, for today is the day of salvation. And I'm praying right now, whatever you've learned in your life, whatever religious or religion you're involved in, or maybe some of you are atheists, maybe some of you are agnostic, maybe some of you are nothing. Don't think of nothing. I'm here to let you know that there's hope. There's hope for everybody. There's hope for you. And all you have to do is receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that God would redirect your steps and bring you into a place called salvation. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. Just like he did for us, he wants to do for you. And so, pray this prayer by faith. And I'm going to believe God's going to do something mighty and awesome. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Woo, is he worthy? Amen. If we want to...
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.